You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
It is the weather, winter weather, making another comeback just in time for your Easter weekend.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, this series of valley rain and mountain snow is really going to kick off this afternoon.
That front will move in sometime in the afternoon, bringing valley rain and mountain snow. By evening, though, around 7, 8 o'clock, it'll probably have calmed down.
KSL meteorologist Matt Johnson says we could have a quarter inch of water in the valleys by tomorrow when we get a break. But by Saturday, it picks back up. Matt says Sunday, though, is going to be the strongest. He thinks we could get 6 to 12 inches of snow in the mountains from end to end of the state. If you're headed to St. George this weekend to look for Easter eggs, just be prepared for wet weather on I-15 Sunday with a slight chance to see some snow mixed in with that rain. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
An early Easter could mean billions of dollars in retail losses. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston is live with those details. Peter?
Yeah, Tim, U.S. retailers look ready to make $1.6 billion less than last year, according to a recent survey from the National Retail Foundation. Now, that's not to say that people aren't spending big on Peeps and Cadbury and other Easter purchases. The survey estimates a windfall of $22.4 billion is still coming for companies, and that's the second most ever. The National Retail Foundation found the top two things Americans are going to spend their Easter cash on are candy and food, with decorations at the bottom of the pile. 4 out of 5 Americans say they're planning to celebrate this holiday. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Gas prices keep jumping here in Utah and around the country. BYU economics professor Christian von Lenn talked to KSL TV about why the prices have jumped so far.
What's notable is that Utah's regulatory standards are a little bit stricter than many other parts of the country.
He says Utah's regulations make the state more susceptible to quick price fluctuations.
UTA getting millions of dollars to put towards transit projects.
The money comes from a $9.9 billion allocation in federal funding that's being distributed across the country as part of a law to support different transit agencies. UTA is getting $61 million, and they're planning on using the funds mostly for maintenance programs like bus and rail preventative maintenance, as well as doing some upgrading to tracks. Britt Johnson, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national story is now the Baltimore Bridge collapse this week is now an international tragedy impacting families in multiple countries. Details from ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Still missing and presumed dead is Miguel Luna, a father of three from El Salvador, and Maynor Sandoval, a father of two from Honduras. Sandoval's brother says he was the fundamental pillar of the family. The two victims recovered from the wreckage are identified as Alejandro Fuentes and Dorlian Cabrera. A man who knows the construction workers says the men were on a break, sitting in their parked trucks on the bridge to warm up when the bridge collapsed.
One of the workers recovered was identified by a driver's license in his pocket.
The crypto billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried will be sentenced today. Federal prosecutors say he stole more than $8 billion of customers' money, and they're calling for up to 50 years in prison.
His legal team pointing to FTX bankruptcy estate and how the company expects to fully pay back those customers. But experts say the massive impact of his fraud on the public could decide the number of years or decades he spends behind bars.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert says Bankman-Fried's lawyers argue a long sentence is not justified for a nonviolent first-time criminal.
A sentencing hearing for the man suspected of attacking Nancy Pelosi's husband has been delayed by a month. David DePape is facing federal and state assault and attempted kidnapping charges. The court says the previously scheduled court dates were too close together.
New York City moving ahead with plans to charge drivers more in their busiest borough. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
The MTA says 700,000 vehicles enter this part of the city every weekday, and the new tolls will help curb congestion and possibly generate billions of dollars for improvements to mass transit. The plan makes some exemptions for buses, government, and emergency vehicles, and there are discounts for those who make less than $50,000 and for drivers already paying tolls at the tunnels.
Supporters say the new toll will encourage people to take public transit.
First look traffic now on the 7 o'clock report, and here is Heather Kelly.
We do have an accident on the collector ramp of northbound I-15 in Midvale. It's just before you exit at 7200 south. The vehicles are over on the right shoulder. That is slowing things down just a little bit. But if you're on main flow I-15 in the same area, you will see some brake lights as you head from Midvale into the Murray area. And then we have a report of a crash in Sandy at 9400 south, 300 east. We're seeing delays both eastbound and westbound on 94 south. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is rescheduling his delegation's visit to the White House. It was canceled, you may remember, after the U.S. opted not to veto a U.N. resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
The U.N. cannot force Israel to stop fighting in Gaza. It cannot force it to desist from this impending invasion of the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where 1.5 million people are sheltering. Many of them have been displaced, and probably a majority of them are facing starvation. But it sends a signal. And this is the first time that the U.S. has not vetoed the resolutions brought by other states. And Israel is very sensitive to that right now. They understand that the tone is shifting.
ABC's Matt Gutman says the specific date of the meeting has not been announced.
A new study suggests expensive weight loss drugs can be produced for less than $5 a month. ABC's Rhiannon Nally has reaction.
Senator Bernie Sanders now urging Ozempic maker Novo Nordisk to lower the list price of Ozempic and the related drug Wegovy in America to no more than what they charge for this drug in Canada, which is $155 a month. The company declined to provide the production costs, but says it spent nearly $5 billion on research and development last year, and that the out-of-pocket costs for Ozempic depend on a patient's insurance coverage.
Four people in California are behind bars after police say they stole tens of thousands of dollars worth of Lululemon leggings. That's a mouthful. The mass theft led to a police chase. Police say the suspects stole a total of 200 pairs of leggings valued at $23,000. The leggings retail for about $50 a piece.
The Star Trek franchise is trying to find a way to bring new Trekkies into the fold with a long list of new shows.
The streaming series includes Strange New Worlds, which follows the Enterprise before James Kirk became captain. Lower Decks is a continuing comedic animated series, and the kids' animated Prodigy has been resurrected from cancellation to find a new home on Netflix. Some of these new shows have taken big creative swings, including crossover episodes and even a musical episode featuring K-pop, with the K meaning Klingons.
Why you only calling us when you got your dramas?
So what's next for Star Trek on streaming? Well, there's the Section 31 TV movie starring Oscar winner Michelle Yeoh, described as Mission Impossible in space, coming next year. Also in 2025, Starfleet Academy, a teen series set 1,000 years in the future, will make its debut. I'm Kevin Carr.
I see some more viewing in your future at your home.
I am an admitted Trekkie. I am big time.
Lots of opportunity coming. Speaking of watching things, Dune Part 2 has grossed nearly $600 million since it hit theaters last month. Most notable in the story are the giant sandworms, but how grounded to reality are these creatures from Frank Herbert's sci-fi epic? We're about to find out from KSL News Radio's Michael Kavit. Michael?
Tim, we're not going to see anything like Shai Halud in our lifetime, but some attributes of these mythic creatures are more than just fiction. For example, just like Shai Halud, some species of parasitic nematodes hunt their hosts using vibrations.
The experiment that was done to test that, the substrate that was used was sand itself.
Now, Utah professor Michael Werner also notes how some nematodes have a diversity of teeth-like structures, kind of similar to the ones you see on the mouths of those giant sandworms. Now, Shai Halud's life cycle also produces spice melange, allowing the universe's navigators to fold space-time and live longer. Now, old Earth's nematodes produce a substance that can extend its life as well. So, for now, if you were hoping to ride a giant sandworm and fulfill a dangerous prophecy in our lifetime, then, well, you'll have to ask the nematodes. Reporting live, Michael Kmit, KSL News Radio.
Isn't the best science fiction always based on real science?
Absolutely. And that's a little freaky to think they may be roaming underneath our feet somewhere, and I did not anticipate a full biological history.
No, I loved it.
Of Shai Halud.
That was fantastic.
From one of our reporters this morning.
Come back and do it again.
Michael's on it.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.